preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, we are so glad that you've tuned in for another edition of Abounding Grace. And if you were with us yesterday, you know that we're dealing with 1 Corinthians chapter 5, looking at this amazing text that deals with the responsibility of the church to discipline members who are going wayward in the truth. And I know all the baggage that comes with this today, all the difficulty and even bringing up a subject like this, discipline. It seems so unloving. It seems so cruel. And yet, the Bible presents it as God's way of going after wayward sheep. The Bible presents it as the responsibility of the church and God's way of using means to lure back and bring back those who are straying regarding the truth. And we see this break open in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where there, the Apostle Paul writes, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you." This is an important verse because the Apostle Paul is calling them to deal with the problem and how contrary this is to the mentality today that people get involved in something bad and they can escape their present church, escape the elders of their present church, run to another church, and that church, in the name of love, puts their arms around them and embraces them and never asks why they're running, why they're there, and almost takes the approach of, "We don't care about your life. Just come to us. We'll accept you just as you are." And the Lord is saying here, yeah, you do that and you have brought in a whole bunch of leaven into your body, which of course then in turn brings down God's judgment. And we looked at that yesterday. That's where we left off yesterday, where the principle was, and looking at least even at the Achan example back in the Old Testament. Remember, Achan had sinned by taking the spoils of war, and God was angry at the whole congregation for that. And what did the Lord require? Well, the whole nation was to stone him. So all Israel stoned him, we read in Joshua 7, and burned them with fire. That was the wife, the children, and all. That's how serious the Lord was about sin in the body. And the principle there was that there needed to be a cleansing of the whole congregation for sin that had polluted everyone. And that's where we're taken to Christ. That's where we're taken for the need that there be a washing of all of our sins, that we are all infectious and that we all are infected and need to be purged. Well, when sin breaks out in the life of the congregation, the Lord expects this purging. The Lord expects, of course, not today, since we are not under a theocracy, but the Lord expects a verbal disciplinary action to be taken, for sin to be confronted, for judgments to be made. And we'll look more at that. So this didn't just become a leadership issue. The principle always was that the congregation had to give a verbal amen to the decision that came from the elders of the body to put away the evil from among them. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that is essentially what the Lord is requiring. The sin was to be put away, the one who was sinning, and everyone had to agree with it. All the congregation was to affirm this. Now, can you imagine in a highly family-oriented society how difficult this was? If the man in the church in Corinth who did this, who was involved with his father's wife, if the man who did this was a brother or a father or an uncle or a close friend, and God commanded all of the congregation to say amen because the sin had contaminated the body and to cast the man out, to put him outside of the church. Can you imagine how difficult and hard this was on the congregation? No one had the option to say, well, I don't agree with that. I'm out of here and I'm running down the street to another church. Paul comes to Corinth and Paul hears that this sin is going on, and he writes to the church in Corinth. The congregation has refused to address the sin. And Paul says, don't you realize that by doing nothing, your whole body has become contaminated? This is a really important point we haven't thought about today in the life of the church. A little leaven has leavened the whole lump. And so the issue of contamination is raised to the forefront. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul writes, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. So from God's perspective, the whole church becomes in danger when sin goes undisciplined, and they're held no less guilty than the one committing it. This is so foreign to us, this principle, this important principle. We look back at 1 Corinthians 5, and the main point is that the Corinthians were ignoring the problem. There's an interesting statement made in verse 2. And you are puffed up, and if not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Now, I'm really struck by that. Why are they puffed up? Puffed up has to do with the fact that the church is full of pride. Paul says, you are full of pride. How so? I don't think anyone in Corinth said, you know, this behavior is permissible, a man having his father's wife. I mean, Paul just said, even the Gentiles don't do that. They don't approve of that. They knew better than that. What's he saying? What is the pride? Ultimately, the kind of pride that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here is that kind of pride that fears men and not God. In other words, something happens in the life of the church and leaders are faced with a choice. What is typically the first concern? Well, it's pragmatism, isn't it? What's going to work? Well, it should be, the first concern should be that the Word of God speaks black and white to the issue. The Word of God addresses the issue, and we have to act on biblical principle. We have to make a determination based on what the Bible says and then act on that in trusting the Lord that this is His Word and that we are honoring Him and let the results fall to Him. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says this, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So, if there's someone in the life of the church, I'm not talking about struggling with these things, struggling to repent of them and struggling to turn from them, practicing these things, living in these things, without any repentance, without any shame, without any remorse, and lives in them and sits in the church, Paul says, don't be deceived about this. God's really black and white on this. They will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. They are not going to go to heaven. Well, that's pretty clear. That's what the Bible says. Here's the thing. That's all fine and dandy until my daughter gets involved in one of those things. Those statements I agree with until a key figure in the church has a son involved in one of those things. That's all fine and dandy until some family with a big name in the church and one of their parents gets involved with the sin. Set one of those cases in front of the body, and now it's a little harder to deal with. My friends, hear this really carefully today. This is such an important point. People don't base their reasoning for what they do theologically. In other words, the Bible is not the first directive that guides action today. People will look at the black and white until they're faced with something personal. And when they're faced with something personal, their theology changes. I mean, how many times have I heard of somebody who has a conviction about something all until the conviction hits too close to home, then they're faced with it in a direct and personal way, And what is thrown out the door? Their theology. So our questions often are not about the truth of the matter. Our issues don't get to the truth of the matter. We approach it with things like this. You know what's going to happen if we touch that one in the life of the church? That person has done a lot in the life of the church. In fact, he started the church. He was integral to our whole existence as a church. Look, so-and-so is very successful in the community. Are we sure we want to start an uproar? They are heavy contributors to the church, you know? That person has a lot of connections in this body, a lot of relatives. The spillover could be huge. Do we really want our church to be viewed that way in the community? When it blows up and that person goes out and lashes out against the church to everyone in the community? So you have a choice, don't you? A biblical basis for discipline or a social one? And trust me, the social implications often win the day. Pragmatism rules. What good will it do anyway? And discipline is neglected. It's hard. And a huge tug of war begins. Will the elders begin to actually do what God commands? Since the people refuse to call sin, sin. So when you have elders that actually tend to their God-given responsibility, that's why they need support, care, and prayer with congregational amens. It was most likely for social reasons that the church in Corinth did nothing. He was a male, and they probably got away with much more in that society. Paul is saying, my friends, that we have to make our judgments and base them theologically. You have to make a judgment about the sin, says Paul, with me and cast the man out. And so Paul says in verse 3, for I indeed is absent in body, but present in spirit have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. Look, says Paul, I am absent in body, I am there in spirit, I've judged, you do the same. You have to make a judgment. You have to make a judgment, even though you're living in a non-judgmental world. Why? Because, my friends, it has to do with the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Shall we join it to a harlot? You see, that's the whole point. We are called to be separate and holy because Christ laid down his life and purchased this church with his blood. And he wants a separate identity, a separate community, a holy nation in the earth that is set apart to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of that darkness into light. We are a holy nation. We are thankful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace, Ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We do invite you to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day. LindenURC.com is the website. Also want to extend a sincere invite to you to join me for a conference that I will be speaking at in Canada, the Fraser Valley Reformed Conference on Evangelism of the Canadian Reformed Churches. I will be speaking on April 8th, Why Proclaim His Name? This is on evangelism. That will be at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church at 7:30 p.m. Again, that's April 8th, 7:30 p.m. And Friday evening at the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church, 7:30 p.m. on how to proclaim his name. So we invite you to join. If you have any other questions, you can call us 360-318-0429. Thanks for joining us today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.